You're listening to Bison Report Radio, presented by 24/7 Sports.
You guys have done a great job for Bison Nation throughout the years here. Great to be on with you.
Last time you had me on, I told you guys were the best in the business, and I really mean that. Your coverage of Bison basketball is always top-notch, and the players, the coaches, the fans, we all appreciate it.
I mean, I think you and your staff now have done an amazing job with the Bison Report. Again, I think it gives NDSU fans an outlet to go to for good football coverage, elite basketball coverage, and everything recruiting.
You know, I really appreciate you guys, Bison Report, for what you guys do for Bison football.
Here's your host and publisher of Bison Report, Ross Uglow.
What is up, Bison fans? And welcome to a We Back edition of the Bison Report Radio podcast. We humbly apologize for the lack of a preview show. We very much hope that you tuned in to the Bison Report show on Bison 1660, where we covered a lot of the stuff that we would have covered in a preview show here. It is nice to kind of have that to fall back on, though. We want to give you this podcast goodness twice a week. Working in the bench warmers, working in a 30-minute interview with the head men's basketball coach in its place. We feel like we did right by the people, but nonetheless, we want to get you two pods a week. So we do apologize. The Bison Report Radio podcast is brought to you by the good people at Gateway Chevrolet, and today brought to you by Jackson Brown. How you doing, man?
Oh, Ross, I'm doing great. Excited to talk about some real positive football here over the last weekend.
Yes, we are bringing in the power of positivity today. This is a very positive podcast after NDSU's 24-7 win, and with men's basketball starting this week, all happiness, all good vibes. Today, they won the game. We played the song. Let's dip real quick into the news. As we mentioned, basketball starts with an exhibition on Wednesday. I have not talked to Nate Zastro in an embarrassingly long amount of time, so we will figure out kind of our real basketball preview content probably more prior to their actual games with Arkansas and Kansas, as opposed to like really, you know, doing like a season preview before they play Minnesota Crookston, though we will cover the game, hopefully get some video highlights, get some pictures for the people, get what we need as far as all of the content associated to this very new men's basketball team, tipping it off for the first time this season. No new injuries. Coach Entz mentioned that he is unconcerned relatively about Tony Pierce's ankle. I know he was one guy that didn't go back into the game. But other than that, you know, they're very light on significant injuries from the Illinois State game, and that's always a good thing. Speaking of injuries, folks may have seen Christian Watson on Sunday get back into the Packers lineup after kind of nursing a hamstring injury. Caught a nice little tunnel screen to set up a manageable fourth down on third and long, and was promptly absolutely whacked in the top of the head. Very scary injury. Suffered a concussion, but walked off the field under his own power. He will enter the protocol and be unavailable this weekend, most likely. Though you never know. I'm not aware of any concussion issues with Christian at North Dakota State, so that could speed up his timeline a little bit if it's his first known or documented concussion. Sometimes guys get back sooner, but with head injuries, you never know. Could be 4 weeks. You really, really never know. As we mentioned, the Bison Report Radio podcast is brought to you by the good people over at Gateway Chevrolet. They've got a bunch of beautiful brand new Silverados in there right now. Four different motor options. I'm rocking the 5.3 liter V8 with that adaptive fuel management that uses 8 cylinders when you need the power, but drops down to 4 when you don't, and provides that awesome fuel economy. The new ones, not mine, but the new ones have beautiful large touch screens and an infotainment center that is very, very helpful, very easy to use, very safe when you're on the road. And I really, really enjoy my new Silverado and wish I could get one of the new ones, but I promised my wife that I would not. So we're not going to do that. We're going to rock in the 2021, which is a beautiful, beautiful truck that I use every day and love very much. Go get yourself one of your own over at Gateway Chevrolet on the I-29 frontage road in Fargo, or check them out at gatewayfargo.com. Some general hoops talk from just me, and we'll bring Jackson back on in a little bit. I wanted to just kind of give folks an idea of what to watch. I've had the opportunity to attend a handful of practices. Not something I'd done a ton in the past, but really wanted to get and kind of get in there and kind of get the tempo, kind of get the feel for what this squad will be like. I'll be very interested to see. They've had some unfortunate little injuries, but nothing that so far is going to affect the entire season. We did mention, though, the amazing story of Ryan Sletten and his, the first time I can maybe even remember an open, except maybe when I was in school in 2006, they pulled Nick Mertens and Jeremiah Wurzbacher off the football team because the basketball team was so beat up and so sick. There might have been an open walk-on competition at that time as well, but a true open walk-on competition as Gannon Lemke from Hillsboro, the PWO, left the team after a week, decided not to pursue a walk-on opportunity at North Dakota State. So NDSU, after losing, obviously, Dez to an ACL injury in the early spring and then a broken leg by a lower broken leg by Damari Wheeler-Thomas, kind of slowing down his summer, and then an ankle injury to Javis Miller, all of a sudden they had nine healthy bodies. So you can't play 5-on-5 with nine. It doesn't work that way. So they bring in a true walk-on out of the student body to play 5-on-5, but they're getting back Damari and they're getting back Dez and they're getting back to Javis kind of all at the same time in sort of a staggered sense. I think you're going to see true 5-on-5 from Dez probably a little bit down the way, but he is moving around with a brace. I would not anticipate seeing any Dez McKinney at all against Crookston. I don't know, though, as far as to Javis Miller and Damari Wheeler-Thomas. I think even though they are true freshmen, maybe in a perfect world, those guys would be your starting backcourt as far as they're concerned, just from a talent perspective. I think you're going to see probably Jakari White at the two, probably Luke Yoder at the one. But it'll be very interesting to see who is actually available versus Crookston, because these guys could really use the live reps, the live bullets against another colored jersey. Yes, Crookston is Division II. Yes, they'll probably win by 30 or 40 points. But even just to get those reps against somebody in a different colored jersey is big. And you don't want the first, you know, 5-on-5 that this team has ever played together to be in Fog Allen. That would be not ideal, certainly, though. You know, make for a more difficult scouting report, I guess, for the Jayhawks if the Bison group has never played together. As you guys know, we have been sponsored with my company, Tundra Insurance, our guy, Quinn Allo. We are also now, and this is very exciting, in the wrestling business. You guys need to come down if you can and check out Tundra Mania. It is all over our social media platforms. We're working with Below Zero Wrestling here in the Fargo area. Nick Stokey does a wonderful job. Family fun for all ages. I think the general admission tickets are under $20. The front row seats are right around $20, and kids 5 and under are free. It's Sunday, December 11th. Doors at 3:30, and the show starts at 4:30. The Vikings play at noon that day. You won't miss a ton of the football, but they're awesome family shows, and we're doing it right at the Horace Senior and Community Center, something I wanted to do for a long time, something that'll be super fun for, like I said, all ages. Big Deck Barbecue providing the food, the Wild Rice Bar and Grill providing all your favorite drinks and cocktails. It's going to just be so much fun for the whole family. Like I said, kids 5 and under get in free with a paying adult. General admission under $20, should be super, super fun. So check out, just Google Tundra Mania, look on Eventbrite, check out any of our Facebook pages, stuff like that. Some exciting matches, some really fun stuff coming on. So we're very, very excited. And by the way, Zach's going to be selling sauce. So if you are needing sauce, needing rubs, come to Tundra Mania. Zach will be set up. We're also giving away a Samsung Galaxy tablet. So come on in. and we'll have a ton of fun. Into the Illinois State recap. Jax, tell us about the power of positivity. You wanted to be Mr. Positive today.
I did. You come off an adverse situation, a loss against your foe and a bye week, and it's tough to bounce back. But what I saw this week, just in general, I don't want to get too far into it, but just the energy, the positivity, the excitement on the sidelines, guys celebrating with each other. You could just see that there was a different sort of vibe and a different energy throughout the entire roster, and coaching staff was getting all fired up. It was just good to see everybody having fun out there. At the end of the day, this is a game, and there's a lot of negative aspects that come with this game, but seeing the guys just jumping around, flying around, having a good time, and obviously getting a win while doing it, it's fantastic.
Yeah, I think, we did a BRTV post game, and Zach said, I just feel like this was the cleanest four-quarter game that I've seen. We mentioned from a defensive standpoint on behind the numbers or into the numbers, or goodness gracious me, what I can't even remember what we're calling our own content. Inside the numbers, that's what it's called. That they only had two missed tackles, which is something that has literally been harped on and harped on all season long, but you look at even just the traditional box score, and North Dakota State only, I believe, being called for four penalties, which is maybe a little higher than you'd want, but also, only 25 penalty yards. I think if you went into a game and told coach that they were going to have 25 penalty yards, he'd probably sign up for that. I think that'd be fine. So, one penalty per quarter, not a ton of yardage. Two missed tackles, turnovers. I believe none. If I'm remembering correctly, I know Cam didn't throw a pick, and they did fumble a ball, but they didn't lose it. I don't remember what that was. It doesn't matter. You win the turnover battle 1-0. You missed two tackles. You have four total penalties for just 25 yards. This was a clean game of football, and you win 24-7. You're giving up 2.7 yards per rush, a lot to be positive about, Jackson Brown.
Absolutely. You hit on it, the tackles aspect of things. When you go from double-digit missed tackles to, literally being able to count them on one hand, it's always going to make a huge difference. And, as fans know and as former players like myself know, that's something that's going to be harped on, and that was harped on for sure. Through those first however many games of the season, and having that bye week, and then two, just getting more reps and getting more experience with tackling as the season goes on, it's great to see, and you can really see it coming together for the boys. And like you said, just a great clean game. So
absolutely. And I want to kind of, and I don't even know who we're talking to anymore when I do this, because you have to be, the game ends 24-7. So, the game ends 24-7. This, by the way, is a defense giving up less than 17 points per game to FCS opponents. So you score 10 more points, 10.3, 10.4 more points than they are giving up in general. You hold them to 7 points and are averaging five and a half per play until you basically shut it down and try to grind out the clock. You're 75% on third down until you shut it. They ended up, by the way, still at 71% on third down, but that until you start to try and grind away the clock. You're, up at 8.6 a completion. I just, to be complaining about the offense mid-game and talking about moving on from the offensive coordinator mid-game in a game that you win 24-7 to move to 6-2, by the way, on the back of a national championship, and the same offensive coordinator won you a second national championship 3 years ago. I don't understand how this can be the take. I don't get it. I don't understand. They are just too good offensively for this to be a take from a serious football fan. I don't get what they're supposed to be doing that they're not doing. from a scoring offense perspective, they are top 30 in the nation at 33 points per game. Not only that, they scored 28 points against an FBS team. Not only that, they are a ball control offense. They're not even barely trying to score. They never have. They're trying to keep away the football and choke the other team into submission. And that's what they've done for 10 years. And no, it might not be the most exciting brand of football in the whole wide world, but they are still averaging 33 points a game. By the way, they're averaging more points per game than South Dakota State. I think they might, if I'm just looking, I'm trying to find any Valley teams here in the top 20. They are leading the conference in scoring. They're leading the conference in scoring. I'm looking at the teams that are in the Valley. No, they are leading the conference in scoring. Am I taking crazy pills? What the hell are we talking about here, Jackson Brown?
Yeah, I don't know where this take keeps coming from. And honestly, at this point, it's just in one ear, out the other. We just have to keep dismissing it because, you know, true fans and people that know what's really going on are going to be obviously so much in favor of T-Roll. And man, I just personally, you know, as a former player, and I know all of my former teammates would just, you know, do absolutely anything for T-Roll. And this guy's just done nothing but bring a fantastic offense and a fantastic mindset and just an unbelievable coach that I don't even really hear these little rumors that are going around on social media or anything anymore. You just got to let it go, you know, let it get dismissed. And, you know, the results are speaking for itself, and I'm sure they will continue to do so.
So just you're telling me to be more mature, basically.
maybe not you, Ross, but maybe the people who have the takes.
Two missed tackles. We mentioned that. You have to love it. I had kind of broken down before the game was actually going on that, yeah, these guys have basically, as a team, forced as many missed tackles as Hunter Luepke. Isaiah Davis has probably forced more missed tackles than the entire Redbird team. They just don't have those backs. They don't have a super dynamic after the catch receiver that's either shaking guys or running them over. So this was a great matchup, and that's what I mentioned on the Bison Report show on 1660. Like, this is a great matchup for NDSU. They don't break tackles. They don't want to run the ball. They want to spread you out and throw it, and NDSU wants you to do that. What NDSU doesn't want you to do right now is jam the ball down their throat, and Illinois State just, that isn't that team. It just isn't who they are. So you're in a situation where it's a great matchup, but you still have to get the work done, and JB, they got the work done.
Absolutely, and you know, maybe it was a good matchup in terms of, you know, the shiftiness of the backs and, you know, what have you, and the matchup itself. But, you know, watching the game firsthand, I saw a lot of great individual efforts on tackles, too. I mean, we got guys flying into the open field, making tackles in the backfield. You know, some things that were really impressive and just really positive to take out of the tackling game. Like we said, I'm sure the coaching staff is honed in on it. But man, it just looks really nice when they're able to execute. And as these seasons go on, the tackling and the consistency keeps growing, and let's just hope that keeps going for these guys.
Yeah. I came away from the game very impressed, and I think part of it, and what we'll talk about now, is that linebacker rotation. I don't think it can stay the way that it is. I talked about this in Inside the Numbers. I don't think you can be in a situation where, as much as Matt loves Kays, and he does, obviously, talked about him again in the press conference, and what a great Will linebacker he thinks Kays has been. You can't, I don't think, have the issues is a strong word, but they're obviously not in love with the Sam, how that's gone. Oscar's not getting reps right now. Julian's fine, but they're also pulling Julian off the field way more than they pulled Jabril and Jasir off the field. Now, Jabril and Jasir are Jabril and Jasir. That's a different thing. Well, the point that I'm trying to make in kind of a long way of saying it is, I think you're getting better work from Nick Kubitz and from Luke Wirtz right now, and maybe don't mess with that at this time. I also don't think when you have Logan Kopp and you have Cole Wisniewski and you feel the way that you do about James Kayser, you're not going to do a three-man rotation at will, especially if, as Matt said, he feels like Wiz can play Sam. I wonder if Wiz isn't coming for those Sam linebacker reps, because if you're in a position where Logan Kopp is taking you by the shirt collar and screaming, you need to play me. Look at what I can do on the field. I need to play. Besides just ruining people's lives on special teams a la Jackson Brown, he is forcing you to play him. You can't just have them all three play Will. It doesn't. Even in a true 50-50 rotation like they're doing with Kubitz and Wirtz, you can't do a 33-33-33 rotation with Wiz and Kopp and Kays at the will. You hadn't been, period. You had just been playing Kayser all of the snaps. And whether you agree with that is immaterial at this point. What I am saying is, if you have to find a way to get Kopp on the field and you have to find a way to get Wiz on the field, I don't think they can all play the same spot.
Yeah, I don't know. It's going to be tough going forward here. And I don't, you know, these coaches are going to put the defense in the best possible situation to succeed. But man, just the presence and the play of Wiz, you can just see how it elevates that room. So, you know, you're right. It's a toss up of who's going to play where and who's going to, you know, make impacts at different spots. But, you know, on a positive note, just the presence of Wiz on that defense, you can just see the confidence of that entire linebacker group just skyrocket, and they're playing faster. So we need to keep him on the field, as everyone knows. But what they do with the other guys is gonna be a toss up. And you know, for a guy like Logan Kopp, or for a guy like Julian, it's like, you know, where are you going to continue to make your impact? And things are going to get shaken up. You never know who's going to have to take a step back or whatever the case may be. But you got to find your role. And like you said with Logan, for him right now, he's just a madman on special teams. And if that continues to be, you know, his primary role, so be it. And, you know, that's just expected in this Bison culture, too. So, you know, It's going to be interesting to see how it plays out, but I think the direction of the linebacker room in general is on an upward incline. So it's all positive, but yeah, it'll be interesting to see how that room shakes up.
It will. And that's something, you know, I mentioned, I just think they're gonna, and they've always been, which is fine. They really are going to have to be an aggressive attacking one gap scheme from a run fit standpoint. They just don't have the defensive tackles to just hold up linebackers and keep hold up blockers and keep these linebackers perfectly clean. They need Will and Javi and those guys to do what they're doing, which is to get into the backfield and cause disruption. Obviously, maintain gap integrity, but go upfield, cause disruption. They don't have a Michael Buteau. They don't have a Ryan Drevlo. They don't have a Brian Schatz. There aren't just guys that are going to make sure the center and guard don't move so that the linebackers can flow. It just isn't the group that they have, which, by the way, is fine because of how good they are defending the pass. Look at what happened when a team that wants to throw the ball came to Fargo. A team that, and look, I get it. I understand. You still got to beat Isaiah Davis and South Dakota State probably to get the hardware at the end. So you have to stop the run at some point. But most of these teams want to throw. And by these teams, I mean the entire FCS, not just the Valley. Most of these teams want to throw. So they have really built a excellent pass defense, and it's easy to be very positive about the defense against a passing team after a game against a passing team. It's also easy to question a few things when they lose a game like they did to a team like South Dakota State, and have, you know, Zach Willis and Ross Uglem on here talking about, I wish that they'd have at least one run stuffer at defensive tackle and one thumper at linebacker on the roster. And by the way, the thumper might have just returned. His name might be Cole Wisniewski. You know, he's 6'4", 230. He can thump plenty. And I think we saw some of that improvement basically just due to his presence, and also, while not a huge guy at 6'1", 218, the physicality and the speed of Logan Kopp, when he goes downhill, he's a scary dude. This podcast also brought to you in part by Tundra Insurance. Folks, we've talked about it before. Tundra Insurance, right on the main drag here in Horace, North Dakota, one building south of Big Irv's. Quinn Allo, myself, we're here to help with any insurance questions that you may have. If you're doing business with a company that has a Super Bowl commercial, even maybe has a local commercial, but that's all they sell is that one product, you're taking a gamble that that is the exact correct fit for your family, for your business, for whomever. Let us do the shopping for you. That's what Quinn and I are here for. Quinn does a phenomenal job, and it's just awesome to talk to, keeps it casual, but makes sure that you get what either your family or your business needs and nothing extra. And you're going to hopefully, like I said, let us do the shopping for you and pay the least amount of money for the most amount of coverage. That is, after all, what the game is all about. Speaking of what the game is all about, the quarterback position, I was very impressed, Jackson Brown, with one Cam Miller, and have been very impressed with him over the course of the last 2 weeks. Let's give somebody a little, this is a behind the VIP paywall, but we'll give the folks a paragraph here from the Inside the Numbers post. And, you know, for those that listen to the podcast but don't subscribe, give them a little peek behind the curtain at what they might get. So, and basically we also tweeted this out. So it's not that far behind the curtain. It says Miller has been an efficiency fiend over the last month or so. In NDSU's last four games, he's completing 73.2% of his passes, has thrown four touchdowns against no picks, and has added two TDs on the ground. His adjusted yards per attempt, and the formula for that is yards. They give you 20 yards for a touchdown and subtract 45 yards for a pick, divided by attempts. Well, you can see that, you know, with what we've been talking about, he's only getting yards added to that formula. It's over 9. That's a very impressive number. He's converted 36 first downs on his last 71 throws. That's an impressive number. He is the ideal operator for this offensive unit and the epitome of taking what a defense is giving. Jax, do you have any other takes on number 7, as he occasionally does come under fire from the internet folk? But I think people are kind of giving that argument up as it's becoming more and more apparent that it's just not a very good take.
Yeah, I'm glad to see that take sort of dissipating here. Cam's just, you know, not only is he performing well, like on the stat sheet and, you know, just making great throws, making great plays, but his decision making and just consistency with, you know, not giving the ball up, making smart plays, tucking the ball and running, throwing the ball away. Things of that nature are things that, you know, too, as fans and, you know, as viewers, we got to take into account with his performance as well. And just the lack of mistakes this weekend and just, you know, being consistent and being a rock solid guy who is, like you said, just a perfect operator for this offense is really all we can ask for. And then the added consistency and efficiency on top of that is just, you know, a cherry on top. So can't say enough about Cam.
He's been excellent. And, you know, I get it. Like, he's not as big and fast as Trey. He's not. He's not even as big and fast as Easton. But big and fast doesn't necessarily matter. I mean, I don't think, and all this is some just spectacular podcasting right here, but Cam Miller at this exact moment, I'm just going to pull up because I get that there are certainly more important stats or more telling stats than just completion percentage. It is a good mark of efficiency, but also if you're, you know, 2020 and 2021 Kirk Cousins and everything you're doing is checking the ball down, then completion percentage becomes, you know, not that helpful. But Cam's at 69.8% right now. I mean, that's something that, you know, he's almost at 70%. I know when, like, Easton was there and when Carson was there, 65 was the benchmark that Hedberg kind of put out to them. So that's something that is not only being achieved, it's being blown past at this current state. And so if you're not going to get, and again, we're talking about the Walter Payton Award winner, we're talking about a College Football Hall of Famer, in my opinion, in Easton Stick. Walter Payton Award, Jerry Rice winner. But, like, Trey, in his Walter Payton Award season, was completing 67% of his passes. Easton, again, fantastic radio here, but Easton's career high in completion percentage, I don't think got anywhere close. Now, he was a more efficient runner of the football. I think he was a scarier running option as someone who I would guess probably defended E on a couple practices. You understand how difficult he was to catch or to bring down. But, you know, Easton was a 59% completion guy as a sophomore and then 62 as a senior and a junior. So there are things that Cam is just doing at a higher level than Trey and Easton, period. And Carson wasn't a high – Carson was a bomber. And I obviously Carson was a great, great college football player and obviously, you know, an absolute poster child for this university and for this program. But Carson was a bomber. I think his career high in completion percentage was 64 as far as when he actually got in the games. He was very efficient in limited reps as a freshman and a sophomore, but when he actually got the job – he was a 63-64% completion guy. So there are things that Cam Miller does better than his predecessors. And I'm not saying that he's a better player than any of the guys that we've talked about. I'm also kind of not saying that he's not from certainly not a pro prospect standpoint, but from a college football, what do the Bison need of him aspect. I think he's working his way into the conversation, because these are not all necessarily dinks and dunks. He's right now averaging 11.6 yards an attempt. It's not dinky or dunky. His efficiency is extremely high. I've been impressed with basically everything that he has done. I'm sorry, that number is actually not correct. I apologize. That is per completion, which is not the number I was looking for. I don't want to be misleading. Still, he is at 8.1 an attempt, and that is not dinky and dunky either. That is very, very impressive. Up from last year, 111 points per game, or 111 yards per game, which, by the way, was with Christian Watson. Now he's up over 150 yards per game. He is changing the way that he affects the offense. He's not driving the offense. He's not Eric Berrier. He's not, you know, one of those guys that won a Walter Payton Award down in Sam Houston State. He's not Jeremiah Briscoe. But he is changing the way that he affects the offense, and he's doing it in a more efficient way than anybody before him. And I'm sorry that got a little long-winded, but I'm just saying there are things that he does better than guys that we hold in extremely high regard. Wide receiver room. You were impressed by one young Eli Green. I have been impressed in general, JB.
Yeah. You know, I can't say enough about this performance from those guys. Dealing with some adversity, one of the members of the room who's been there for a long time is now gone. And, you know, they had to step up. And, I want to give another plug to Zach Mathis. And I don't know, you know, necessarily what happens behind the scenes, but you know, I kind of challenged him last time, and I expected it from him that he's going to gather these guys up, round them up, and you know, attack the rest of the season with full force and full positivity. And it really showed this last week. And it seemed just like a cohesive unit. I don't know how to explain it necessarily in more detail, but, the guys are just excited after every single play made and, you know, patting each other on the back. And you could just see the energy and the want and the desire for each guy's success and of each other's success. And, you know, was it the most flashy wide receiver performance? Absolutely not. But just consistency and making the plays when you're asked to. And, you know, I think that really comes from some leadership. And then you could just see it was evident in the energy and the overall kind of mantra and positivity that group had. Love to see some young guys, i.e. Eli, step up and you know, some more older guys like Braylon and Zach just continue to hold the standard high. It was just an impressive performance, and I love to see it.
Let me give you some numbers. This week against Illinois State, 21 completions for Cam to 9 different guys, and wow. no one had more than 4. Lippy had 4, Braylon had 4, Mathis had 4, Raja had 3. South Dakota State, 17 completions to 8 different guys. No one had more than 5. Week before that, 21 different completions to 8 different guys. No one had more than 5. That was the Indiana State. That was the Zach Mathis game. And then you get back into Youngstown where they kind of were more ball control. But the last 3 weeks have been, I think, really, you know, Matt Entz talks so much about put it on film, put it on film, put it on film. You talk about putting it on film. If you're, you know, like from a basketball perspective, Richmond would always talk about, well, you know, Grant's going to be higher up on the scouting report this year than he was. You know, last year he's probably 4th because you had Rocky Cruiser, you had Sam Greasy, you had Tyree Edie. If you're putting together a scouting report for your corners and your safeties from a perspective of pass defense, okay, this is the guy we need to key, this is the guy, you know, we're going to follow this guy. Who do you follow? Because if you follow Mathis, Braylon's going to get you. And if you follow Braylon, Hunter might get you, or Lippy might get you. Or, you know, Stoffel had a monster game a couple games ago. Obviously, they'd be even more dangerous with a Noah Gindorf, but he's not there. My point is that DJ Hart will come get you if you're following those other three guys. That has been, no, I mean, look, if you said Noah Pauley could have Christian for one more year, Noah Pauley take Christian for one more year. There's no question about that. But the way that this team has to be defended is almost impossible. I mean, you've been a defensive guy. You probably didn't love going against Winicky. You probably didn't love going against Cade. But, like, at least they were, it was obvious, at least that was on the scouting report, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Just the sheer numbers here in terms of, guy, like you said, the guys you got to follow around. There is nobody necessarily that you can follow around. And when you have, you know, 7-8 guys making different receptions throughout a game, it's tough. And it's tough to game plan for. But, man, just consistency and the reliability of each of these guys is something that was really positive and just really great to see from both a fan perspective and a former player perspective who, you know, expects a lot out of the guys.
Yeah, for sure. I've been impressed. I think one thing I just want to make clear, like, Hunter is beat up, and I don't have, you know, inside information, but even just the way that he moves with the football, he's not seeking contact the way he used to seek contact. I'm not saying anything shady is going on. I don't think anything shady is going on. Might just be one of those things where you can't hurt it any worse and it's not going to get any better. So can you play? Yep, I can play. Okay, there you go. He's a different football player than what we've seen. And I get the criticism. I understand all the, why aren't they playing, blah, blah, blah. I think he's hurt. That's just my opinion. I think that there's something going on there where you can't line him up a tailback and run him 15 times. And he's still, you know, incredibly efficient as a blocker, as a pass receiver, as a gadget guy, even on that, like, that wing jet was awesome. I think there's a lot of fun things you can do with him. I wouldn't be surprised if maybe he's not used very much as 30-point favorites against WIU, maybe give them a little bit more time. But I don't think that the coaching staff are a bunch of idiots that don't understand what they have in Hunter Lipke. I think they have other options, and right now it really seems to me like they are trying to manage something. Ribs, I don't know. I don't know. So that's where I'm at with Lipke. And I kind of liked the way that they used him in this game. He is an efficient tight end. He does do a great job blocking on the outside. I mean, I pointed out on that first big play, which was a jet sweep to DJ Hart, they didn't block the front side edge or the front side linebacker. It looked like Tamara kind of tried to peel back, but it wouldn't have mattered. DJ beat them to the corner, and then Hunter caught a body. He can still deliver a blow. I just don't think you want other people hitting him 20 times a game, like Arizona, like all those, you know, kind of other things. And he can still make a huge impact as a player in space, as we saw when they faked that wham block on that split zone look and flipped it to him. And all of a sudden, you've got, you know, a 6'2", 240-pound kid that runs a 4.5 flat in open space. And he's hard to bring down. And so that's what I think is going on with Hunter. We're gonna do something a little special here, Mr. Jackson Brown, and that is attempt to get one Zach Willis on the phone, not in studio, but on the phone.
You're kidding me.
No, we're gonna try and get it done here.
Man, shout out Zach.
Hello.
Mr. Zach Willis, he of Benchwarmers fame. How are you?
I'm great.
Want to talk some O-line with you.
Let's do it.
Mason Miller gets benched. I asked specifically about it, and Matt Entz gave me the definition of insanity is doing the same thing a bunch of times and expecting a different result. He was referring to false starts. They had had enough with the false starts. You had noticed some other issues from like a pass protection standpoint. I thought it was interesting that on Monday, the two deep still had Mason as a starting right tackle, still had Gray as a backup at basically every position, which is what he is. Where do you think that competition goes? I think it's, and I want your answer, but I want to get this takeoff in that I think Mason Miller, from a body comp standpoint, can't play anything other than tackle. And that's part of reason why I like him at the starting right tackle, because Gray literally can back up five spots. Mason, I don't think, can back up five spots. But anyway, like, you're the O-line guy. I want to get your take, not just, you know, vomit all my takes into the ether.
Well, I think especially the benching of Mason, I knew pretty much was just like it was a punishment. I don't think it's a permanent thing, and I'm not shocked at all that Mason was still listed as the starting right tackle. And like you said, Gray is the guy that can play all five. You know, if he's going to step in and start somewhere, why wouldn't it be somewhere where, you know, might be a missing link? You know, kind of looking ahead to next year, as far as I'm concerned, this front five right now is pretty solid. But it sends a message. If you keep false starting and you're not playing well, go sit down. Just do a hard reset. I think that's all it was. I don't think it's any deeper or mischievous than that. I think it was just hey, Mason's in his head right now. Go calm down. Get ready for Western Illinois.
I think people take it a little bit differently too, because like if a quarterback throws three picks, he might get benched. If a running back, we saw it this season with Dom Gannella. No disrespect to Dom, but like, you put the ball on the turf, you're going to go sit down.
Yep.
It's more obvious, I think, when it's an offensive lineman, because they don't rotate. And quarterbacks don't necessarily rotate either. But, like, a wide receiver drops three passes, I bet they're out of the rotation. There is no rotation at right tackle. So it's clear and obvious to everybody when 74 is taking all the reps and 73 is taking none. Is that kind of a thing on the offensive line where it's just like, all right, you're not playing well, we'll try this again next week?
Yeah, I think so. I don't really remember any specific instances of it, but when I played, it was all mostly older guys and had a lot of experience, not younger guys who are still trying to find their footing in the front five. I think, you know, it was, you didn't see Mason like disposed, like he was beside himself that he got benched. I think he knew he was having a tough game. Go sit down. We'll figure out the next week. I don't think it's anything as serious as like losing a starting job because of that. That being said, a punishment like this can become permanent when it's a repeated, you know, sense of if Mason goes out and has three more false starts against Western Illinois, I bet they're taking a hard look at starting Gray at the right tackle spot.
Absolutely. And I think, honestly, it's important for credibility, and it's important for those young guys to believe that they have a chance, like to believe that those starting positions aren't set in stone. People talk about, you know, competing. To actually believe there is a competition when guys don't play well, there have to be changes. And I think that's kind of what happened in that O-line room. Zach, we appreciate your time. We've plugged Tundra Insurance. We've plugged Tundra Mania. We've plugged Gateway Chevrolet. What's Big Deck Barbecue got going on this weekend?
We're going out to Grand Forks this weekend, so I know it's a hard pull.
I'm sorry, Grand where?
Yeah, I know it's a hard pull to get this audience that's listening up there, but if you have some time to burn Friday evening or Saturday afternoon, after the Bison game, come up and see us.
All right, that's the Pride of Dakota show up at Grand Forks. We're giving Zach a hard time. Yeah. All right, we appreciate you, buddy.
Yep, see you guys.
Zach Willis, everybody. All right, I ask you this most weeks when you're on the recap show. What do you think they're working on this week? 30-point favorites. Matt mentioned the Bison needing to worry about the Bison. This is another BYOE situation. They've kind of failed to be their OE in Terre Haute. They need to bring their own energy in Macomb. This is a winless football team. I can't imagine the give-a-crap meter is as high for them. No disrespect to the players, no disrespect to the coaching staff, but there just isn't a ton to play for other than playing spoiler, and I think NDSU might be too good for the playing spoiler. What's getting worked on this week?
Yeah, and, you know, from an X's and O's standpoint, I don't know necessarily that anything drastic needs to be implemented this week. But like you said, you know, they've got to bring their own energy. And that was something that, you know, we harped on in weeks like this. And it's harder said than done. You know, you pull up to Macomb and you see this, you know, metal bleachers stadium that only holds a couple thousand, and even only a portion of that is full. You know, it's tough, but bringing your own energy is a huge thing, and that's going to be harped on all week. But two, you know, it's starting to get that time in the year where, you know, not only injuries could start to, you know, rack up here, and young guys are going to have to develop and, you know, get thrust into some situations that may be uncomfortable. But I think it's time to find some late season contributors. And, you know, whether it's a guy like, you know, what we talked about earlier, Logan Kopp on special teams, maybe coming into the defense and making some good plays, or a guy like Eli, who, you know, got his first catch last week and starts to make some more contributions. I don't know, but, you know, experimenting with some personnel and then experimenting with some other things that they can put on film to, you know, maybe throw some defenses and some offenses off here in the coming weeks. So look for some experimental, you know, plays and things of that nature, and then, you know, trying to develop some young guys who are right on that edge of becoming serious contributors. I'd love to see that.
Yeah, and this isn't the preview show. We'll get you guys a preview show, but I think it's important for them to just knock the crap out of these guys, really. Mm-hmm. I think it's important to get rest for guys that need rest. And honestly, this is the first real opportunity for reps for other players since NCAA&T. You know, this is – and maybe your last one. Probably your last one. I don't know that the twos will get in against Southern Illinois. I don't know that the twos will get in against UND. It'd be really sweet if the twos got in against UND. But I don't know as that is a likely occasion. This might be one of your final opportunities outside of, you know, maybe a first-round playoff game against somebody who isn't very good to get the twos in. So you're right. I think it's important to jump on these guys. If you want to try a couple of things, maybe show a few looks that you haven't, put some stuff on film. But yeah, maybe get Cole some work, some real work at the QB position, and maybe you know, try. And it's tough because it's a travel game, but maybe you see a guy who hasn't used one of his four games yet. Maybe you see a true freshman with an opportunity. Anyway, JB, appreciate you, brother. This has been super fun. We want to thank you. Want to thank our sponsors, Tundra,
Unknown
Insurance,
Caller,
Gateway Chevrolet, not the unknown caller, and the good folks at Big Deck Barbecue. Will give them a shout out as well. Have a phenomenal week, everybody, and go Bison.